WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Israel continued its bombardment of Gaza overnight. CBS's Linda Gradstein is following from Jerusalem.
Palestinians said dozens of people were killed in Israeli airstrikes, including on a UN school in the Jabalia refugee camp. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel will continue until Hamas is destroyed and the hostages are brought home. A delegation from the World Health Organization visited the Shifa Hospital in Gaza days after Israeli forces seized the area and called it a death zone. Linda Gradstein for CBS News, Jerusalem.
Jordan's prime minister is accusing Israel of war crimes, citing the lack of food, water, fuel, and the bombardment of hospitals in Gaza City. President Biden addressed Gaza and Israel in an op-ed in the Washington Post. CBS's Christina Ruffini has details.
It does reiterate the need for a permanent two-state solution, a Palestinian-controlled homeland, and the president writes, quote, "I too am heartbroken by the images out of Gaza and the deaths of many thousands of civilians, including children."
We have a winner in Formula One racing in Las Vegas. CBS's Matt Piper has that story.
It began with high hopes at race cars driving along the Vegas Strip.
We're back in Vegas, 15,029 days since we last raced here.
And by the end, Max Verstappen won his 18th race of the season. And as heard on ESPN, the 26-year-old celebrated during his victory lap.
Viva Las Vegas.
By singing that famous Elvis song. But it wasn't all fun. Some fans upset at being forced to leave the venue early Friday morning before the start of the second practice session filed a class action lawsuit seeking at least $30,000 in damages. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Facebook parent company Meta is reportedly pulling funding from a team overseeing AI.
One of the key questions a lot of people have had about artificial intelligence is how to ensure these companies that are profit-driven are building these new AIs responsibly. This team that Facebook reportedly broke up was focused on making sure that AI innovations were done responsibly.
That's CBS News tech contributor Ian Scherr. Music mogul Sean Diddy Combs has reached a settlement with singer and model Cassandra Ventura, known to fans as Cassie. She filed a lawsuit against Combs just one day ago that accused him of rape, sex trafficking, and physical abuse. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Gillette Intimate.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Studies show people who live in rural communities have a life expectancy 3 years fewer than people who live in urban areas. Mike Moan reports now on efforts to plan to prevent these deaths.
Across rural America, health experts say factors like ambulance shortages and hospital closures add to access issues for patients, leading to poorer outcomes. The American Heart Association notes that rural populations are 40% more likely to develop heart disease. AHA's Tim Nicolai says that's why his organization is working with small towns and cities to build a nation of lifesavers for when a rural resident experiences a heart attack.
Are the people and the organizations around them prepared to respond with effective CPR, with utilization of an AED, and kind of just having that entire system in place?
Municipalities that apply for the designation are given tools to evaluate gaps in getting residents trained and fitting buildings with the proper equipment. Nicolai says schools should be a major priority for any readiness planning.
There's dozens or hundreds of students there day in and day out. There's dozens of staff members. There's often parents and other volunteers visiting during the school day. And then you think about athletic events and community events that are often housed in schools.
He says schools should not only make sure staff are trained, but also make sure automated external defibrillators, or AEDs, are placed in visible locations and are accessible after hours. Nicolai says churches, food pantries, and community centers are other places to add to a readiness plan. Local leaders wanting to pursue a certification can contact the state health department. AHA also has details on its website where communities and businesses can build their plan. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bowe.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of sunshine, just a few high clouds going into the afternoon. East-southeast winds at a high of 51. We will have a mostly cloudy sky overnight at 33. Monday, cloudy at 46. Rain chances not far behind. They'll enter the picture by day night. It's 21 at our studios.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. That's what we do here every Tuesday night, Civic Media. Everybody in Wisconsin, thank you for listening. Everybody on the live stream across the country, across the world, Johnny, they might be out there everywhere listening. It's Busted Pencils. We do it every Tuesday night. We try to bring you, you know, you, my neighbor who's sitting out there just doing their hardest to make sure that everything continues to go the way it's supposed to, taking care of business, going to work, putting the kids to bed, taking care of the elderly. You're doing all that. Johnny and I here, though, are making sure that when it comes to education, public schools, the heartbeat of your community, we are here to make sure that you, our neighbors, actually understand what's happening. And Johnny, election week last week, we had an incredible guest, Stop Moms for Liberty founder Liz Mkhitaryan. I want to start, though, Johnny, just to kind of, you know, here we are a week later, and from the Daily Beast, Moms for Liberty candidates take a beating in some school races. From Truthout, Moms for Liberty and anti-trans Republicans lose big in elections nationwide. MSNBC, the Moms for Liberty school board takeover has hit a wall. And one more from The Advocate, Moms for Liberty candidates rejected by voters in key school board elections. And Liz, I know you're sitting there on the line, and Nate, if you can bring her up, get her off hold. Liz, we got to talk about this because the Stop Moms for Liberty group, we bring you on election night, the magic of having you on Busted Pencils. Look what you guys have accomplished. How are you, Liz?
Well, I don't think it's exactly because I was on, but we're really excited about the progress that we're seeing.
Well, so a little bit about that is that are the headlines making a big deal, or is there, you know, at that moment, yes, last week, you know, it's been a week now, so we'll do some digesting talking a little bit about this, but this is a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think our membership thinks so. And I obviously think that most of the media thinks so. That's why it's headline news. And we all honestly think that Moms for Liberty also thinks so, because they are certainly trying to massage the numbers to make it look like it's something that it wasn't.
Mm. Well, I mean, so big turnouts, Iowa, Pennsylvania, and Virginia seems to be the big headlines. What about, though, you know, as you talked about, I mean, this started in Florida, your home state. How'd you guys do down in Florida?
Much less progress, which was to be expected. You know, we are still the laboratory, and much of our focus has to be on saving the rest of the country, and then it will come back around to getting Florida back on some even footing. So I would still say that they have enough of a stranglehold on the state per se, but I think that our work, having, you know, gone nationally with this push of information about Moms for Liberty, thank goodness that we did, has really helped to open the eyes across the country and to let people know that those little blue t-shirted gals are not what they are presenting themselves to be.
Okay, so rehash then for, you know, my neighbor who's listening to the show, we talked about them, and Johnny wants to know too.
My neighbor.
You know, reacquaint us, Moms for Liberty, you are Stop Moms for Liberty, but I mean, what do Moms for Liberty supposedly say they stand for?
Well, they have a platform that most of their rhetoric says that they are for parent rights. And they put out to their audiences that parents don't have rights, or that parents are in danger of losing their rights. And none of that is correct. Parents have always had rights related to their public school system. They are public systems. Therefore, there are rules and regulations that even force school districts to make sure that parents are fully informed. And so, you know, that whole push to make parents afraid has been what they have developed in their national movement. And it's fundamentally flawed in the premise that no one is trying to take over their children. No one is trying to harm their children. And for God's sakes, we're not trying to indoctrinate or groom any children. Public schools are too darn busy to even think about some of the things that we're being accused of doing. And they just keep fueling this information out there. And when parents are made to be afraid, of course, they're going to buy into whatever is said to be the solution for that. But unfortunately, we're not seeing Moms for Liberty come up with any solutions whatsoever. All they've done is this fear campaign. Here's my example.
Go, Liz. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that I was just sitting in my local school board meeting. And what almost unfolded was our local school board, which is Moms for Liberty majority, almost turned over their power to the state of Florida. Almost. Luckily, there were at least three people that thought, no, that's not a good idea. They were going to follow what the state said and forego any kind of book vetting locally. And I turned around to talk to this row of Moms for Liberty that was behind me. And I said, do you understand that turning over your local power to any bigger entity is not good for your community? And I mean, these are local people that live near me, right? And they don't see it. They don't see the logic of what's actually being fought for. And what's being fought for is less rights. And here we have a board that's elected, and they almost gave away even more so of the rights local.
Johnny, think about that, right? The fact that, you know, they say Moms for Liberty advocates for parents' rights. And as Liz points out right there at her own school board meeting tonight, they were about to give up parental rights. Johnny, does that make sense to you?
I mean, that's kind of the dupe in this. That's the hoodwink of this whole thing, right? Yeah. Is, you know, it's a pitch to, you know, gather attention around this issue of like parents should have a say, which education is part of is a key part of democracy, and essential to democracy is local voice. So that's sort of the bedrock of this whole thing. But the whole language around that is to draw in all this attention that we need to fight for this right when that is the right. And in fact, through that, the agenda on the work, it sounds like, of Moms for Liberty and groups like that, the efforts are actually to really, you know, enclose on that right.
It's true. It's true. If this had been a group that fundamentally really wanted parents to have rights, they would have instructed all of their membership in proper procedure of how to be involved, how to review curriculum, how to oppose a book that might be available. But it hasn't been their strategy. Their strategy is to attack the school system, to, you know, name teachers as, you know, distributing pornography. And I mean, it's just as vile stuff as you can think of. And in truth, parents already have what they're fighting for, and yet they don't pursue that. Every parent has the opportunity to be on a PTA or a PTO. Everyone has a, we call them in Florida, school advisory councils that parents can be involved in. And these aren't the things that Moms for Liberty is talking about. They're talking about taking over school boards so that you can just make decisions and it will just be our opinion of things. And that's not exactly, as you said, that's not how a democracy works.
Well, it's not democracy when you talk, you know, laying it out like that. And say people hear this and go, wait, what, you know, because as you pointed out, the PTO within the school, there's this avenue to take. You can go here. You can call the principal. You can come to this meeting to talk. You have many, many ways as a parent to advocate for your rights as a parent and your kids. And you know what? And even being a part of the community, advocating for your community. When you talk about this, too, it's like Moms for Liberty positioning themselves as some kind of activist democracy kind of promoter. The reality is they're looking for concentrated power in a minority to make decisions for all of us. I think about that, too. You know, I can't remember if I said this last weekend or not, but remind me if I didn't. But you know what? My neighbor might need to hear it again. You talk about, though, right? Yeah, this ability. Parents have always had that right. I remember teaching fifth grade 28 years ago. And guess what? When you teach fifth grade, guess what the topic is in the spring? It's that time where we talk to the boys and we talk to the girls, and the girls go over with Mrs. Yates and the boys stay with Mr. Slecker. And guess what? All the parents have to agree to allow that conversation to occur, the birds, the bees, that conversation. That was 28 years ago, Liz. What go say? Okay, I'm gonna say, so I mean, this idea that parents haven't had rights, I mean, this was what just happened. You know, we sent that out. It wasn't, and that's just the way it was. And guess what? You know what? Over the years I taught fifth grade, you know what? Every so often there was a parent who decided this wasn't right for their kid. That's great. That's the way it's supposed to be. They made that decision. They took their child out for that day, for that moment, and let the rest of the community take part in a public education, in a dialogue, in a discussion, and didn't stop other kids and other parents and other families from getting that information. Oh, it's Busted Pencils and Fully Leaded Education Talk. Our return guest this week, Liz Mkhitaryan, founder of Stop Moms for Liberty. Oh, big week, though. We wanted to have her back because on Tuesday when we were talking to her last week, it was election night. The results came in. Moms for Liberty appear, at least from the media, took a shellacking. I'm going to read this out, one other piece here. Quote, Moms for Liberty, the right-wing parental rights group advocating a hardline anti-woke agenda in America's schools, had a rough night in Tuesday's elections for school board seats around the country. The organization, considered an extremist group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, endorsed scores of candidates in school board districts in several states from Alaska to North Carolina, but the group's record backing book bans, opposing racially inclusive lessons in classrooms, and pushing anti-LGBTQ messages seemingly failed to connect with voters in multiple ballots. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, our guest Liz Mkhitaryan. More when we get back. Stop Moms for Liberty.
The Tap.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Oh, listen to that. Oh, my neighbor's loving that music. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slecker, our guest, Liz Mkhitaryan, founder of Stop Moms for Liberty. We are having an incredibly, you know, a celebratory week. You know, it's a week after the elections, Liz. You know, we read all of the headlines, all the beating back. You were talking, though, on break, and let's hit this right away, though. One other thing that kind of popped up, was it today or the other day, that you know, it said the Southern Poverty Law Center did already classify Moms for Liberty as, you know, an extremist group. There was a little bit more added to that today.
Yeah, there's actually some media folks that I'm connected with that are exposing the fact that Moms for Liberty members are directly connected with Proud Boys across the nation. And we have the photo evidence to prove that. And so the National has said, oh, they've become aware of it. And so they have dismissed these two leaders of their chapters. I believe the leaders are still listed on their website, but they are trying to refute the claim that they do have any connections whatsoever to the Proud Boys. And it's simply not true. Even one of their founders had one of the Proud Boys at her campaign congratulations party after she was locally elected over in Sarasota. And he was there celebrating with her. And we have the photo of that, too. So for them to try to distance themselves is not going to be successful on their part. They can refute all they want, but the camera doesn't lie. If you're pictured giving the hand signals that the Proud Boys use, if you're holding their marching flag, you're connected. And so they can't walk away from that. It's something.
They can't walk away from that. But then at the same time, it's like, why are they walking away from it? I mean, they stand for, I don't know that you would want to back away from the fact that you're aligned with a group that stands for the same things you're saying you stand for. You're like, what are they distancing? You know what I'm saying, though, Liz, right?
They are standing for the same thing. They say one thing, but their actions speak much louder. And the actions that they're doing are hateful actions. And it's the attack mode that is typically used by the even more extremist groups like Proud Boys. Proud Boys use violence to push their cause. And who knows, maybe Moms for Liberty is going to go down that road too. I sure hope not.
Okay, so
you know, there's some
celebration
debate,
though.
What they're actually plotting.
Mm-hmm. Right. So celebration though. Okay, we're looking at that. I mean, you know, come on, you can't distance yourself from the people you're close to. That's why you're close to them. But the reality, though, Liz. Okay, it's been a week. There's a celebration. You know, Stop Moms for Liberty, a true grassroots organization, and other people and other groups like you guys have really pushed back and made some efforts. Where saying like, look, parents, you know, you really want to have your rights taken seriously and be considered, then you need to push back on this. All right.
Right.
Reality check, though, Liz. Is the work over now? Democracy's restored and all is well?
Oh, absolutely not. as you know, I'm based out of Florida, and we're kind of behind the eight ball here on the whole situation. But we did absolutely have successes across the nation. You know, some of the very proud examples are those in Pennsylvania, where they totally flipped entire school boards, which is great. And, you know, kudos to those boots on the ground folks there that made that happen. But we knew really that we were successful when Moms for Liberty National started putting out statistics and trying to blow their own horn about, oh, look, we were successful again. And if you really dig into that, it proves that, no, they really weren't. And what happened was that our side of things was actually the success story in this last election. So Moms for Liberty is pushing this mantra of they've seated over 300 and some odd school board members. But what they're not really emphasizing to their membership and to those onlookers is that 250 plus of those school board seats were turned last November, and they're still lumping them into the numbers now and making it look like, look what we've done. So the trajectory has been a negative trajectory, and yet they're trying to massage the messaging. So they're combining last fall's numbers with this past spring numbers, where they only sat about maybe 40 or so, as opposed to the 200 and something in the fall, because the fall was their big success story last year. So they sat maybe
Right. Remind people too, that was last fall, not this past, right? Yeah.
Correct.
So it sounds like what you're saying, they're still holding on to those wins as wins that, you know, they're not willing to let go of at this point.
Well, and they're using them to mislead their followers. So when they're putting up, look, we have 300 and some odd school board members. Well, guess what? 250 of those plus were already on school boards starting last fall when they did have that big success. Before we started taking off last fall, yeah, they did have a huge success in the fall of 22 election. So fast forward to the spring of 23, they had much less success, plus there were less elections. So they sat about 40 members. And this past time, they only had about 50 wins across this country. And that is a downward trajectory, and they're trying to massage it to look like it's something that it's not.
Is and Johnny, you jump in too, if you throw this here. Is the reality of their, you know, kind of, I'll say it, hateful rhetoric, the, you know, banning the pornography, the telling, you know, people that, you know, your child's kindergarten teacher is a groomer, is a pedophile. Is it just coming to a reality and say, you know, we'll use the metaphor, my neighbor finally sees through this nonsense, to go like, wait a minute, that's not the reality. But when you're out there doing the work, though, Liz, of advocating for democracy, advocating for liberty, how do those conversations go? Do you have people that push back on you, or do people surprisingly go, wait, I didn't know this? Just give me a little bit of sense last 2 minutes before we let you get back to your busy evening there in Florida.
Sure. Well, I think that what we're seeing is that the majority of people either don't know about Moms for Liberty and their activities, or they were kind of borderline before. And Moms for Liberty has really pretty much shot itself in the foot with, you know, this constant mantra that they've given of this negativity, because the majority of Americans support public education. And they're throwing up their hands saying, all right, wait a minute, you're going too far. You're attacking my local school. You're attacking my child's teacher. And so what we're seeing is this change in view across the nation. And that was exemplified with this election, because people did turn out in droves because they want to protect their public school system and have them available. And so we still, like, I just had a conversation tonight at my local school board meeting with the local leader of the chapter of Moms for Liberty. And I've actually invited her to have a sit-down conversation with me. Whether or not she takes me up on that offer is yet to be seen. But even the folks that are in leadership positions, they've got to be questioning what they're doing. There are some that are so deeply entrenched in this thinking that, you know, everything that this supposed organization does is, you know, coming up roses for them, right? Everything that they do is going to be seen as correct. But the majority.
And we're going to go, Liz, going to pull you there. Make sure you check out Stop Moms for Liberty, stopmomsforliberty.com. Liz Mkhitaryan, Busted Pencils. More when we get back. Tim and Johnny.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5. The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Amid the Israeli bombardment of Gaza, Palestinian civilians are struggling to survive. CBS's Wendy Gillette describes the situation.
In southern Gaza, residents chopped wood to make fires to bake bread. As supermarket shelves remain bare. This man calls the situation tragic, saying there's no food or water.
Heading out for Thanksgiving, here's a heads up about some dicey weather from National Weather Service meteorologist Bob Orovic.
The biggest impact from this will be the widespread rain. Could have some flight delays, and then anybody traveling on the ground in cars or in trains, there could be delays also.
Just minutes into a test flight, SpaceX's mega rocket Starship exploded, but...
I would definitely classify this as a success.
Former astronaut Garrett Reisman is a SpaceX advisor.
Now they know what the next set of problems are, and I'm optimistic that they'll go and fix those.
That's CBS's Mark Strassman. CBS News Brief, I'm Linda Kenyon.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Win in overtime. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Nebraska jumped out to a 14-point lead in the first half, but the Wisconsin Badgers battled back to send the game into overtime and get the win, 24-17. Braylon Allen with a 3-yard run to score the winning touchdown, ending a 3-game losing streak. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Well, winning's a whole different feeling, so I wasn't kidding. I mean, you guys have seen me the last couple weeks. You see me on the Monday press conferences, and it's been a stretch, you know, on all of us. I think, you know, every kid in that locker room, every coach in our program, and to get a win tonight, it's so great. I mean, it's deep.
Wisconsin travels to Minnesota next week. NBA, the Bucks with a 132-125 win over the Mavericks. Milwaukee scoring in 7 of their last 9 possessions to get the win in the fourth quarter. Adrian Griffin.
You know, your fourth quarter got to be your best quarter, especially when you're playing a terrific team like Dallas.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of sunshine, just a few high clouds going into the afternoon. East-southeast winds at a high of 51. We will have a mostly cloudy sky overnight at 33. Monday, cloudy at 46. Rain chances not far behind. They'll enter the picture by day night. It's 21 at our studios.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station, the Devil's Advocates radio show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mullen. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
It kills me not to know this, but I've all but just forgotten what the color of her eyes were, and her scars, or how she got them, has the telling signs of age.
I will never forget how you got your scars. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. It's up there. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Give us a call. Tell us about your efforts to stop Moms for Liberty. Again, stopmomsforliberty.com. Guest last week and for the first two segments of the show, Liz Mkhitaryan coming in to talk about the, you know, the success of stopping Moms for Liberty all across the country last week. And then still the effort and the battle and the continued, you know, Johnny, let's say the continued, what do you want to say, fight? I'm trying to not go into a fight, a negative.
Yeah, man.
Fight for democracy.
But yeah, I was just going to say, you know, more to me than opposing Moms for Liberty is, right. You know, like what are we doing? Like when you said the callers out there want to maybe call in and share what they're doing to stop Moms for Liberty. I mean, Liz Mkhitaryan sharing what her civic duty as, you know, an educator and exercising her democratic voice to oppose Moms for Liberty. But in general, I think what we're talking about here, Tim, those last couple of weeks is, you know, threats to the democratic process. I'm not talking about the Democratic Party, mm-hmm. right? We already got into all that, like how much of a, you know, failed effort, especially around education, the Democratic Party continues to be. But in general, we're talking about democratic life, about civic responsibility within a democracy. Mm-hmm. And you know, and Moms for Liberty are a threat to democracy. Actually, that's a kind way of, you know, classifying, you know, what Southern Poverty Law Center and Liz Mkhitaryan brought this up, has classified Moms for Liberty as a hate group, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's extremist measures taken by groups to organize politically and to use language like Moms for Liberty. Mm. Like, hey, like this is just a group of concerned parents.
Which, parents' rights.
Yeah. But actually, it's an extremist hate group looking to, you know, be a hindrance, and that's put mildly, to disrupt and be very destructive to the democratic process. It's important that people in the community are active in school board decisions, that they participate and share their voice. Mm-hmm. But this is not what this organization is. And so I think more broadly, Tim, the question is, what are we all doing to ensure, underwrite, exercise the democratic process, right? Not to stop it or to limit it, mm-hmm. or to attack it, which is what the group Moms for Liberty is doing. So stop Moms for Liberty. Liz call, like Liz, you know, been on the show last 2 weeks, has shared, you know, the efforts of organizing in response to those attacks from Moms for Liberty. Right. So I like to like broaden it, instead of being in like a blow to blow battle, which sometimes right. you gotta be in, sometimes you gotta be in it, right? And right. so Liz, you know, today our guest and last week is sharing from the front lines, being in that, right? Right. She referenced that being in Florida, right, is a constant having to defend the position of an educator doing public education, what is healthy and, you know, understood as a quality education around our country, around the world, is something that is important in a democratic, you know, nation. And so teachers have to be on the front lines of defending that, because it's under attack in Florida. It's under attack other places too. But, you know, more broadly, we're here, Tim, to talk about, like, what are we doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, to defend democracy, to, you know, understand our democratic civic duty.
Do you ever wonder when we're talking about this, though, if people are listening and going, I thought you guys were school teachers and we're talking about, like, learning
yeah,
and test score drops and stuff. I mean, dude, like, you guys are way out of your lane talking about democracy. And, you know, in fact, I think I might have even heard you, Johnny, talking about teachers being on the front line or being out there advocating for democracy. That sounds to me like you're saying that teachers should be taking a political position. I thought teachers' job were, you know, to teach reading, teach writing, teach arithmetic. You know, they're not supposed. Go ahead.
Here's the myth that political means that you have to take a side, Democrat or Republican. And that's absolutely, mm-hmm. everything is political, mm-hmm. right? And so I you know, teaching in a school is a public position. It is one of public service. Even though you're paid for it, it's not public servants. You know, it's public service. And so, you know, it is a political position. And if one doesn't believe in democracy, they ought not be a teacher. Right. Mm-hmm. So so I think the myth is what often gets, you know, like discussed, or I think, you know, moved from center of the discussion is, well, teachers shouldn't have a side.
Mm-hmm.
Democrat or Republican. And that's a distraction. Right. Okay. It should not be a matter of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party to value democracy. That ought to be shared by both. And that's a position. It's political and it's shared by teachers. So when I say they're on the front lines, wherever they're at, whatever they're teaching, that's sort of the commonality. That's a common denominator, is that we value democracy as a process.
Well, think about that, right? You know, the way we're breaking that down, I think sometimes people forget that, but you did that so nicely. Is this that, you know, we don't want teachers taking a side. And what that typically means is a side, a Democrat or a Republican or an independent or a libertarian, or, you know, but they do, as you said, though, take a side. If you're a public school teacher, you are on the side of democracy
automatically,
and being on the side of democracy is nothing to apologize for, is nothing to hide from. And in fact, I'm going to go forward and say a lot of what's happened in public schools, you know, the need for Stop Moms for Liberty and things like that is because, you know, we've forgotten over time that this thing we call public schools is about democracy in our community, in our townships, in our cities, in our states, in our back countries, on Friday night football, on you know, the kindergarten parade. All of these things are about democracy. And so to be on the side of democracy, that is your responsibility as a teacher. That is your responsibility as a citizen who has children in the public schools, as a person whose kids went through the public schools and are out, and you're a senior now. You still have that responsibility, that civic duty to be engaged with democracy. You know, just reminding that. And you know what? If you're out there, you want to get engaged with democracy, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can always become a vocal advocate of democracy on Busted Pencils, Johnny. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, I do. And I mean, I'll even break it down a little bit further and push it. It doesn't even have to be a per se political issue. Like, to be, it's not even if you're involved in public education or we have to classify. It comes down to, do you drink water? You know, you're part of a democracy, right? Do you drive on the roads? It's part of a democratic function, right? It's all of these things. It's the everyday stuff that's part of our lives. And that's why I want to emphasize why we talk about it on Busted Pencils, is because we learn to value those things, and we learn important skills that we put towards making decisions that are complicated, that involve multiple perspectives, that don't have easy solutions. We learn to do that in schools, and we learn that that's an important process that we get good practice at and we get really great at, so that we can do that in community. So it's not about arguing the loudest point or being the strongest. It's about having the most accurate and information, facts that help us to make a decision that sometimes isn't in our individual interests, but is in the interests of the common good or the whole. And these are messy. And you know what? Like, we don't, in general, as a culture, enjoy the messiness. And I'm not advocating for like violent conflict in this. I'm just saying, when we disagree and we can handle that disagreement, right, we often find ourselves arriving at better solutions. And this is an important aspect that we learn to do in schools, and why we're advocating for this. I think we're coming up on a break, Tim. So take us to the break soon.
We still got 5 minutes, man. We're good. Well, yeah,
because I want to come back to something here.
Go ahead.
And And when we were talking about Moms for Liberty and school board meetings, and we're talking about how important it is for folks to have a say and a voice, and we talk about our neighbor, and we talk about how much of a public matter education is. I stand by that and believe it, but I want to make a clarification that most of our teachers and school leaders are experts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so while we have something to say and we can offer, and so like groups like Moms for Liberty, like, and they're really advocating when they say parent rights, they're advocating for parent knows best. And I'm saying parents have a say,
mm-hmm.
but most of us in education are experts on what kids ought to be learning and how they're learning it. So it's a partnership. All right. Mm-hmm. I would hope that you don't go into the auto repair shop and tell the mechanic how you want your car fixed. If that's what you want, then fix your own car. So Moms for mm-hmm. Liberty, when you do advocate for homeschooling, I applaud you, because mm-hmm. that's the appropriate move if you want to be the expert. And I hope you're the expert, and often you're not. But the same way, if I'm, you know, I'm working on cars and I'm an auto mechanic and I have an expertise, and you're coming to tell me how to fix your car, I'm going to probably tell you to go fix it. And so here we're at a partnership, and I want to advocate that there are highly qualified teachers in every school in this country that have expertise. And if you don't, if you're not the person who would walk in and tell the mechanic how to fix your car, don't be the parent that walks in and tells a teacher how to teach your kid. Partner with them. You know, okay. You would say that about your car. You'd say, here's what's happening when I'm driving it. Here's what I know about my car. Here's the things I want you to take a look at and listen to when you're doing it. Partner with your mechanic the same way you would partner with your teacher. Recognize their expertise, right? And that goes for teachers too. Recognize that parents know particular things about kids in their community that when we share and we partner on, we do better by education.
But even that pairing and sharing and partnering, is, you know, that's democracy, right? That's the discussion. That's back and forth. It's sharing. It's having a conversation and getting to know a little bit more that I maybe didn't know. And therefore now I'm informed, and now I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to have a conversation. I'm going to think a little bit more deeply before all of these things. Man, 844. 967-2789, 844-967-2789. It's Busted Pencils. It's every Tuesday night, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Great guest last 2 weeks, Liz Mkhitaryan, founder of Stop Moms for Liberty, talking this week, though, you know, week after the election, the work of advocating, I'm not going to say fighting, Johnny, the work of advocating, of participating, of engaging in democracy works. And that's what Stop Moms for Liberty is doing out there. They're engaging democracy. They're advocating for more interactions, for more direct, you know, in fact, they're advocating for active parental rights so that parents always do have that voice in there, to not give up that parental voice. You know, advocating for democracy is advocating for a voice. Johnny, go 1 minute.
Yeah, and Tim, you know, we're going to go to break here, and it's a perfect moment to go to break. And if you're still here when we come back, L.A. Tom always has something to say that resonates with exactly this message. So, Tom, if you're there when we get back from break, we're going to hear from one of our listeners. L.A. Tom comes in right on cue with this one.
More Busted Pencils than L.A. Tom when we get back.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Time out.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique.
and in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
93.5 The Tap.
There it is. The theme song to Busted Pencils, Rise Against, Re-Education Through Labor. It's fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 844-967-2789. And there he is, right on cue, L.A. Tom calling in. L.A. Tom, what's happening, my friend?
Hey, guys, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And you guys have one of the best shows on civic media that there is, so I really appreciate it, and I hope everyone even tunes into the app at civicmedia.us or goes to the app and downloads it so they can actually hear you know, what's going on even in places in Los Angeles, even though I'm from Wisconsin. I wanted to touch upon what Johnny is talking about, which I think is so, so important. I'm just going to give you a little scenario. I grew up in a rural area of 2,000 people in Wisconsin, and most people that were educated there were the teachers. Was the football coach, was the, you know, it was the education area was the ones that were the most with college degrees. And for Scott Walker was able to make those teachers into elitist over the person that maybe just started their own business or started their own job, but didn't have a college education. And I think we got to thread that needle very, very slimly, that being educated and being a person with a degree doesn't mean that you're better than other people, but it means that you have an education. Now, I do think one of the things that has hurt education over the years is to have you know, some of these parents come into the homeroom and teach in the, or help out in the schools, because for some reason they think that they have as much expertise as someone that went to a four-year, degree for elementary education or for higher education. It's just like me. I'm in sales. I tell people, look, I'm no different from a doctor. I am no different from an attorney. When I set an appointment with you, it is the same thing as you setting up an appointment with an attorney. So I think somehow there has to be some type of elevation in education, that not that I'm better than you because I have this degree or because I have this education, but because I am an expert in the field of child development. I am an expert in the area of history. You know, we also need to teach in our schools. The teachers need to start taking it upon themselves to start talking about government being about we the people, and that government is good. Because every place in the world right now, you see where the government is not good and it's an authoritarian and scope, this is where you have problems like Hamas. This is problems where you have, whenever you have bad government, you have bad things happening. Whereas good government, like in Finland and Switzerland and Denmark and places like this that actually have good government, you don't have wars. So I think it's really, really important. I don't mean to get all over the place, but all I'm saying is that somehow, you know, the parents need to realize that they're parents. And honestly, the teachers see their kids probably more than they do in a day. So they need to start allowing the teachers to be the experts, and the teachers need to start sitting down with parents and saying, look, I am an expert when it comes to this field, and not just anybody and everybody can do this job. And we need to have people in the administration actually uplift those teachers and say, these are experts at what they do. They are not the parents that are doing this as a side gig while they go and work at the restaurant at night because they can't afford, you know, to be a teacher. I mean, it's just crazy to me. But I really think we
Look at Tom kicking some butt. He's throwing out the civic media plugs and everything out there.
Man,
amazing. Tom's pulling a paycheck here. Holy crap. Johnny Lupinacci. We love when L.A. Tom calls. 2 minutes, man.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think, you know, L.A. Tom calls in and reminds us of some important things. And I appreciate, you know, how he brings it in that, you know, like teachers really, like, we need to remember teachers aren't just professionals. They're skilled labor. They're highly knowledgeable, skilled labor in the areas that they're teaching. So if you're teaching, you know, children how to read, you actually have skill in that, like training and understanding around that, expertise. All right. And so that goes for teachers too, to remember out there, like, because we have oftentimes associated that with a degree, that we've separated that it's blue collar work, and it absolutely is blue collar work. I mean, like, teachers, even though we call it like a 4-year degree profession and it's often grouped in as white collar, it's not. Every teacher out there knows, you know, they're salt of the earth work. Maybe they're not outside in the rain like construction workers, but you know, they're really rolling up their sleeves and they're part of the labor force of this country. And so remembering that it's a skilled expertise that they're bringing to it, and it's valued, it's part of that democratic process, and it's teaching, you know, our children to be democratic citizens, right? So that's, to me, that's a really important, where that's under attack, then there's resistance, and that's resistance is coming in the form of, you know, Stop Moms for Liberty. It's coming in the forms of, make sure that we provide children with an anti-racist education, make sure that we are queer affirming in schools, making sure that we're recognizing diverse abilities as a strength. These are all important things that defend democracy.
Johnny Lupinacci, Liz Mkhitaryan, Stop Moms for Liberty, Busted Pencils, throwing it down every night. See y'all next week.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News.